family of stations.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Suddenly I heard a strange noise down below. So in my flannel pajamas, I went tippy-toe. I could see our Saint Nick from the spot where I stood, so I slid down the banister just as fast as I could. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. See my two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas. It seems so long since I could say Sister Susie sitting on a thistle. Every time I try to speak, all I do is whistle. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. See my two front teeth? Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
Oh yeah, Spike Jones. Not too many people remember good old Spike Jones. My two front teeth. Well, we got to be a little bit Christmassy. We're getting very close to it. Surprisingly close. Good morning. And welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I still have my two front teeth. The rest are gone, but I have my two front teeth. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis. We thank you very much for joining us. It is Monday, December the 5th. Yes, indeed it is. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the November jobs report. It shows about 263,000 more jobs added to the payroll. Here's the question. Does it mean we really are doing better? So we'll talk with Sean about that in just a few minutes. And both railroad workers and oil executives are blasting Joe Biden for mishandling their respective industries. We are going to take a look at that as well. And listen to this. When a Paralympian and a veteran, a woman, asked the Canadian government for a wheelchair lift, they turned her down, but they said they would offer suicide help in return. What? We're going to take a look at that, discuss it a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 most popular Christmas songs. I wonder if My Two Front Teeth is one of them. You will have to stay tuned to the end of the show to find out. Anyway, we had a lot going on this morning. Rail workers are speaking out after Congress voted last week to avoid a shutdown on the railroad line that could have had, well, just think about it, some real catastrophic economic consequences, right? On Friday, Biden, our president, signed bipartisan legislation congratulating lawmakers for helping to avert what he called a real disaster. He said, look, I know this bill doesn't have paid sick leave that these rail workers and frankly every worker in America deserves, but that fight isn't over. Well, here was one of the people in the union that didn't like the idea of Biden saying what he did and doing what he did. He said, their voice has not been heard. They voted against the contract, meaning Congress. He said, we have a pro-labor president who loves to, pat himself on the back. And when the going gets tough, he turns his back on people that he's supposed to be looking out for. Now, this newly elected law that Congress signed off on codifies a July deal that originally was worked out between the unions, the railroad unions, and the administration. It would raise the pay of workers almost 25%, 24% over 5 years. And it would include an immediate payout on the average of $11,000 upon ratification. So they got a pretty good deal. They didn't get the sick days. Now, they got a deal with sick days already, but apparently a lot of the union people feel it's not very fair. But here's the same old argument. Why are we, the government, involved in something that could be worked out much quicker and with more knowledge between the two sides, the unions and the railroad executives, the railroad owners? Let them work these things out. They'll figure it out. They know the pressure is on to keep the railroads running. You get the government involved, and this is what happens. In the meantime, oil industry executives are upset with Biden as the, strategic reserve, it's at dangerously low levels. Biden's been pulling oil out of the damn thing because he refuses to allow us to create our own oil, drill baby drill. He's closed down the operation of the pipelines that we were trying to establish. Good God. Then he's going to Venezuela and Saudi Arabia, getting down on his knees and begging, give us your dirty oil, because we don't want to do it ourselves. So the American Petroleum Institute president, Mike Summers, has issued a warning to Biden that their negligent plan, meaning the administration's plan, to restore the oil reserves could trigger another economic oil crisis. He said the reserves have become the strategic political reserve, and we have grave concerns about how it's been so politicized. He said this is for emergency reasons, not to lower gas prices during an election season. He's right. What does Biden care about the reserves when he can get a few more votes? Can you believe that they do that? But they do. He went on to emphasize the importance of refilling the reserve and doing so with a non-political strategy. The Biden administration plans to halt oil sales from the reserve once the price of crude dips to $70 a barrel. Yeah, well, in the meantime, when we'll have a real emergency and we don't have enough in our reserves, then what are we going to say, right? But what do they care if they can win a few more votes in November? And then he goes over, begs Saudi Arabia, hey, please, 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 don't raise your prices yet. Wait until after the election, then raise your prices. That'll be okay. I don't know. Kind of selfish, it looks like to me. Anyway, why don't we do this? Let us take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Sean Higgins. The November jobs report is out. It looks like it's pretty positive. 263,000 more employees. But does it mean we really are doing better? We will ask Sean Higgins.
There's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth. She's got a hat on 30.
Hey, we are back on Monday, December the 5th. Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for joining us. I'm just looking here. Well, we're getting close again. You know, at the end of the year, as we approach January the 1st, always means that we're running out of money. The federal government is within spitting distance of the mandated limit on how much money it can borrow. And it will soon be forced to undertake a series of money-managing techniques to avoid exceeding the debt ceiling. This is such a game that they play, you know, with the debt ceiling. I mean, we're printing money that nobody is actually... We're not... It's not like people are paying more taxes to finance all the spending. We are printing money, just printing it, through the Federal Reserve. I mean, honestly, have your taxes gone up? Have you looked the last couple of years? Have your taxes really gone up in your 1099? I don't think so. I don't think so. They've stayed pretty much the same. Anyway, Sean Higgins is joining us. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about these November job numbers. And Sean, I guess it looked pretty good. We added, what, about 265,000 jobs in November. The unemployment rate is about 3.7%. Overall, it signifies, I think, that things are going well. What do you say?
It's generally going well, but however, the economy is cooling down a bit because earlier this year the job gains were about 400,000 a month. So we're not doing quite as well now as we were then. I mean, obviously we're still doing better because, you know, we're gaining jobs, not losing them, but the pace is slowing. I would also point out that wages went up 18 cents in a month, which is good for workers, but it also indicates that employers are having a really hard time finding people to hire, and you're seeing a lot of reports now of places cutting back entirely, and there's some layoffs in some industries, like particularly like social media and streaming service companies are letting people go.
Yeah, why are
so
they
doing?
Well, why are the tech companies doing that? Is it because people are not as involved in, I don't know, supporting them? Why are tech companies, in your opinion, laying off more people these days? They just don't need them?
Yeah, I mean, there was a boost in use of them during the COVID crisis because people were trapped at home, and now that people are out and about and more often, they're not using them as much. I mean, a lot of people have canceled streaming services. A lot of people just aren't using platforms as much. They're just literally out in the public more, and therefore the companies who expanded during the COVID crisis are now saying, oh, well, actually, we don't need these people, and some of these services, we're starting to lose money on some of these services, so we need to cut back.
Mm-hmm. And there's always that, the silent majority of people that aren't working at all, they don't show up on the numbers because they are not filing for unemployment benefits, correct?
Yeah, the Labor Department is curious in that it releases six numbers every month, but the one that's publicized, the one that you see on the headlines all the time, is only one of the six calculations that they use. And it's not clear why they use this particular one as opposed to others. I've asked in the past, nobody seems to know.
Yeah.
It's just something they've always done. But the one they use is people who are actively looking for work. And as you say, if they're not actively looking for work, even if they could be working and they might be working if they thought there were jobs available, a lot of people are just staying at home and not doing anything, and those people aren't accounted in the official numbers. And the labor force participation rates have remained stuck where they are. So there's people who could be filling the jobs that are open, they just aren't for one reason or another. Maybe they have good personal reasons for it, maybe they're just don't want to get off the couch, who knows? It's probably different in every case.
You know, it would be interesting to know how many people are actually working of the 330 million people that we have in this country over the age of a certain, you know, like 18, you know? And it would be kind of surprising what a large percentage of people are that are, you know, and that would include, of course, older people, you know, that are already retired and things, but it would be interesting. By the way, I noticed the stock market's down almost 300 points right now. Is that in any way because of any particular situation that you can think of? Is it because of the jobs report, or is it?
Yeah, the jobs report, I think, has a certain amount of coffee nerves among some investors out there. There's the fact that inflation is exceeding wage growth. Stuff. There's enough sort of stuff percolating. There's also, of course, the fear that we would have a supply chain, another replay of the supply chain crisis that has been short-circuited by the Congress and the President signing legislation, but that had some people worried for a while, and it sort of reminded people of how fragile some of the parts of the economy are.
Yes, indeed. We're talking with Sean Higgins. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Sean, along with some of his colleagues, have come up with an analysis of what's going on right now and with the jobs report. You know, we've got, and you mentioned supply chain, and I'm thinking, maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like supplies are getting a little better in terms of the shelves. And that's just me going to, you know, Walmart and a few other places, grocery stores, and looking. Is it true, or are we improving our supply chain situation right now?
Your eyes do not deceive you. Yes, the situation is better now than it was last year, in large part because retailers are reacting to the situation we had last year. They stocked up early. They made sure they had stuff ready. They checked out the different ways in which they could source things and worked on that a little bit more. And so there's not that shortage of goods that we were seeing previously.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, in fact, some have probably overcompensated and have more stuff than they can sell at the moment. And that's just literally a reaction of people sort of responding to the way things were last year and trying to be prepared, and in some cases a little over-prepared.
Indeed. So are we in a recession, Sean? I mean, I've heard different people say, oh, we are or we're not, or it's a mild recession, but it's going to get worse. And I've heard people say, actually, things are going to get better. So I come to the impression that nobody really knows for sure. What are your thoughts?
I don't think we fit the technical definition of what a recession is, because that's the economy contracting. And basically, we're sort of in new territory where it's a little hard to sort of justify and explain some things. And there's a lot of factors that just are sort of ahistorical, and we don't quite know how to account for. You know, I mean, the 2 years the economy was basically shut down by force, and we're now crawling out of that, and that's going to create some anomalies in the system. And, you know, for example, we have a 3.7% unemployment rate. I mean, that's historically extremely good. I mean, there's a long time for which the economists thought it couldn't even get below 5%, that there had to be a minimal amount of, you know, people entering the workforce and, you know, companies, you know, going out of business or new ones starting, and the sort of your usual churning of the economy would always require a certain level of unemployment. And that turned out to be wrong. So, I personally will go with the official declaration that we don't have one yet. Its potential exists, but who knows?
Yeah, it's a good answer. So the Federal Reserve, they're going to be raising rates again?
I'm the wrong person to ask.
You're as good as
they
anybody.
They don't consult with me. That's
I know.
That's sure.
They don't consult with me either, but that doesn't stop me from asking you. I mean, it sounds like they're going to continue to do it in bits and pieces. Now, I've heard, I think it was Art Laffer. You've heard of Art Laffer, right? The Laffer curve?
Of course.
Didn't he say, I think he said, why doesn't the Fed just hike all the way to the point they want to get to right at the start? In other words, let the bloodletting occur right away, rather than these little incremental nips and tucks and pricks and, you know, stabs and all that kind of thing.
Because in the world of politics and economics, most people tend to be much more cautious, and the type of shock therapy Mr. Laffer is discussing there is just, he may think it's a good idea, but it's not something. It's just not the conventional wisdom. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, but that's just not how they do it.
Yeah, they don't. I would tend to think, you know, taking a shot like that all at once could have a kind of a devastating effect. But do you think the Fed should be that involved with all of this? What about just leaving it alone, laissez-faire, you know, let what comes, you know? The less that the government's involved, the better, et cetera, et cetera.
That is my personal default position. I mean, a lot of the times, yeah, the sort of rejiggering by the government and the micromanaging of it isn't necessarily a good idea. I mean, that was the case, in my opinion, with the the recent railroad strike. I mean, Congress and the White House jumped in to sort of prevent a strike from happening when there was still a possibility that it could be resolved just between the management and the unions on their own. I mean, it was a negotiation. Negotiations often go down to the wire. That's just the nature of a negotiation. The White House and the Congress were so spooked by last year's supply chain crisis that they didn't want to even take the risk. So they jumped in before it could happen. I think it would have been better if the government didn't do that, but that's just me.
Yeah, no, you're not the only one. We're talking with Sean Higgins, as we said, from the Competitive Enterprise Institute about the November jobs report, which overall looks pretty good. Sean, Christmas spending, it seems like people are out and about spending. I guess that's a good sign, no matter what. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, most businesses and most retailers really count on the Christmas season to sort of make up for anything bad that happened earlier in the year. And so, to the extent that people are still actually going out to retail centers, there's still Black Friday is still a thing. Like, some people thought that this would fade away, and that most people would just be shopping online. But there really isn't a substitute, I think, for a lot of people being able to physically have something and know they have it and be able to give it as a gift. And so it's a good sign. It's a sign, basically, that we are sort of returning to normalcy. And I also think there's basically a social good aspect to that. I mean, get out of the house, meet other people, go to places where other people congregate, let humanity be humanity.
Indeed. So, do you have any advice for the Biden administration as we go into the new year? Should they change their philosophy in what they are doing when it comes to spending, et cetera? I'm sure they're not going to listen to either one of us, but we're going to have a Republican House and a Democratically controlled Senate. I guess a lot won't get done for a while. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe the less government, the better.
I'm a firm believer in something that Ronald Reagan said back in the 80s. Don't just do something, stand there.
Yes.
In other words, do the least amount of harm, and sometimes the best thing you can do is to just let the problems sort themselves out.
That makes sense. We need a guy like him around right now. Doggone it. Maybe we can find someone like Ronald Reagan. Anyway, Sean Higgins, always a pleasure to talk with you, and I thank you so very much. I look forward to our next chat.
Great. Thanks a lot, Paul.
All right, Sean. Sean Higgins. Always kind of, straight arrow kind of guy, just cuts right to the chase.
What was that quote?
Don't just do something, stand there. That is good advice for Congress, don't you think? All right. I guess we'll take our break, Ed. When we come back, among other things, a Paralympian veteran, a woman, she asked the Canadian government for a wheelchair lift. You know how they're into helping socially in a lot of programs. Well, they weren't going to offer her the lift, but they did offer her suicide help. What? So we're going to take a look at that, among other things. We'll be back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Freedom Works on a Monday. You know, our weather has been relatively mild, even for Tampa Bay. I must say, we haven't had really cold weather. I don't even know what it's like up north. You know, we just started assuming that things are the way they are here. But I know the last I looked, Buffalo and Syracuse still had snow on the ground. I suspect they still do. But anyway, we have our old buddy back. Angelo Ceresi, our eye in the northern sky. I haven't talked with him in a while. Angelo, how are you?
Very good, thank you. How's everybody down in Florida?
I don't know how everybody is down in Florida. I'm the only one person. I suspect a lot of them are fine. Others are not. I guess they're doing pretty good. You know, we're happy that we got our Governor Ron DeSantis back. I don't know about you guys up in New York. You still got your same old governor as well.
Yeah, very sad.
Are you?
Yeah, all of us, yes. Except, I guess, the people down in Manhattan and a few counties that she won are happy, but the rest of us are not.
Yeah. It's always the city of New York. It's the same in Illinois where I grew up. Chicago always dominated everything else. And the Democrats used to, you know, run amok in the state legislature and the governorship. Not always, but quite a bit. So what's on your mind these days? Are you doing any Christmas shopping?
Yes, we are. We're doing some Christmas shopping. The weather's like today's probably going to be almost 50 degrees.
So you don't have any snow?
No, we don't have any snow on the ground. Just Buffalo, bit of Syracuse, but not Rochester.
Not Rochester.
We missed it.
Well, that's good. Now, are you on what we would call the snow side of the lake?
Well, Syracuse would be when the winds come out of the west, and they get it, and they'll get it in the east.
What's that term that they use for that kind of snow that falls on the
lake effect?
That's it.
Lake
Thank
effect.
Thank you. Lake effect. So does Rochester ever get lake effect?
Well, we do. When the storm comes up on the northeast, we have a nor'easter. We get double barreled between the nor'easter and the lake effect. When the winds change around, it comes right over the lake again, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we get double barreled. We're in between the two, so if that happens, we get hit pretty hard.
We were talking earlier, Angelo, about the shopping shelves and the fact that I said it looks like, just from my limited experience, that there is more stocking going on the shelves. What is it like, in your opinion, up there in the Rochester area? Do you find that supply chain is improving?
Somewhat, but not dramatically, no. It's not. I mean, I was looking for some guitar strings. I can't even get them. They haven't even got any, the kind that I use.
Really?
They're waiting on shipments of places that I go to.
Well, that's a rather exotic thing to look for. I mean, and I agree with you, it's still very frustrating. Do you normally go to a music store, a particular music store for those?
Oh, yeah. We go to either Guitar Center, you know, that they have here, and some of the music, some of the smaller music stores,
So they're running out of, I guess, what is that, catgut?
They got the nylon strings, right? But I use like the steel strings.
Where are they made? Are they made overseas? Do you know, or are they made here?
Some of them are made overseas. Some of them are made here in the U.S. You know, they can't keep the supply. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like Fender strings, they're made in the USA. You know.
Oh yeah, the Fender guitars. Those were a very famous brand of guitar. So. Do you think overall, you've seen Biden patting himself on the back recently, despite all of the trouble at the railway strike, and, you know, he's got squabbles with the oil execs. Somehow he thinks that he can just say the oil companies are having record profits, and all they have to do is, if they weren't so greedy, They would lower the price of gasoline. I mean, does he expect anybody buying into that concept? I guess he must.
Some people are, I guess, but only the Democrats believe in that. But
I mean,
he declared war against the oil industry.
Yeah.
He has declared war against the coal industry, and now, you know, he's going against his base, the unions, especially the railroad unions.
Yeah.
He's going against them.
That's right. We talked about that a little earlier. that they're very upset with the intervention because they did not get the number of sick days that they hoped for. But,
and, I mean, are they still going to go on strike because they didn't get what they wanted?
I'm wondering if they would say, I don't care what the government says, I'm going to go on strike. Of course, there might be pressure from some of the other unions that had voted to accept that contract, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was going to ask you also about this. The price of heating oil and gas in Rochester, of course, that, you know, is going to be it's going to be quite a bit higher than it was last year. Have you started seeing or feeling the effects, or has it been warm enough that you really haven't worried about it yet?
Well, I mean, it's been not as cold as it normally would be. So until, you know, so the world starts getting cold, then we'll find out and see how much is going to go up, you know?
Yeah.
Right now, like, I'm on the budget plan where I pay the same amount, you know,
every month. Right.
And then what will happen is, as you use the gas more, you'll see how much the price is being paid that we have to pay for the gas and electric coming in.
Right. Are you on a gas heating or what?
Yes, I'm on gas. I'm on natural gas.
Natural gas heating, yeah.
For my furnace.
Yep. So as it gets colder, and it will inevitably get colder as we get deeper into December, I think people are going to start to realize. Another thing is a concern, and Ed and I talk about it quite a bit, is diesel fuel supply and the availability of diesel.
Well, $6 a gallon over here for diesel.
And that's another thing, the cost of diesel, which, of course, directly affects the cost of all the goods that they are transporting on the trucks.
Well, most people that heat their homes up there, they're using diesel, am I correct?
Diesel?
Yes. For homes? Some they use oil. Diesel fuels like for the trucks, you know, but home heating oil is a different grade.
Yeah. I don't think it's technically diesel.
It's not diesel, no. Home heating oil is a different grade of oil up here. I do know that the people here in Rochester, because of Rochester Gas Electric, some people are getting like $1,000, $2,000, you know, for their heating. And now they want to, you know, it's like a private company, and people are protesting. And they want it to become a public company.
Yeah.
Run by the, you know, to take it over instead of having private company having, you know, our gas and electric. That's how bad it's getting right now.
Yeah, that's scary. That's scary. We're talking with our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, brother of Andrew Ceresi, the master barber down here. Let me ask you this, Angelo. Are you following, I don't know, what some in the media would like to say is warfare between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis and the possibility of both of them running against each other for president in a couple of years? And do you have any particular feeling about that? Are you pro-Trump or pro-DeSantis? I mean, what are your thoughts on any of that?
You know, I don't know how true this is now, whether President Trump made the comment the other day about suspending the Constitution. Did you hear about that?
That sounded like it was out of left field if he said that, because he was so upset. He said that we ought to suspend the founding fathers, and et cetera. We need to suspend the Constitution and have another election or something like that, because it was so unfair. Yeah, I think it was really stupid stuff, if you want to know the truth, if that's what he said.
If that's what he said. But you know what? 99% of the media, you cannot believe anyway, right? I mean, you haven't heard anything about the Twitter accounts that Fox has been putting on the air, what they did during the election Hunter Biden.
Well, Fox is about the only station that's talking about the Hunter Biden and the Elon Musk release of the deal, you might say, that Twitter worked out with the government to ban the New York Post article on Hunter Biden and all of that kind of thing. I mean, there's no question Twitter was colluding. Whether or not they felt the pressure and the FBI was involved in it, it's a very scary deal.
Well, the thing is, that interfered with a presidential election. And whoever did that should be brought up on charges of treason for undermining our country and undermining the government. You know what I'm saying? And the American people are going to stand for that?
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe. And, you know, I don't think if Ron DeSantis is president that he would ever stand for that. Or Donald Trump, we know he won't.
Well, you know, in our country, it's very interesting. There's such a thing called free speech. So let's just
First Amendment. Right.
So let's just say that Twitter, the old Twitter, let's just say for the sake of argument that they were absolutely biased against Donald Trump and Republicans. You know what?
Right.
They actually, being a private company, they have a right to be biased. They actually, if you think about it, they have a right to say what they want to say or don't have, you know, if they want to stifle somebody's, like they did with the New York Post, they actually might have a right. But in our country, because of the very idea of freedom and free speech, ultimately, we're talking about that whole thing right now. So, in its own way, we do understand what was going on with the stifling of the New York Post Hunter Biden story. And the chickens are coming home to roost in a certain way, don't you think?
No, you're right. I mean, they're protected by the First Amendment. I believe in that. But, you know, with the freedom of speech also comes responsibility. And I forget who said a long time ago, with these freedoms, we have to be particularly careful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And to do something like that, if we're supposed to be the country of the free and all this and that, liberty, I mean, I understand, like I say, freedom of speech, but you just can't be undermining an election, interfering with an election.
Right.
That's to me. Is interference, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's not responsible journalism or anything like that.
No, and it gets very, very interesting when you talk about it that way. So if the federal government puts its finger on the scale when it comes to access of information, which leads to a person voting one way or the other, your question is, why can't we go after those government people that are putting their finger on the scale?
The FBI... was involved in it, putting pressure. That's treason. That's a government agency interfering in an election of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's treason. And they should be held accountable.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's going to continue and continue, and we're going to end up like Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Might as well just call the FBI the Gestapo.
The trick is to find somebody in the barrel and say there's the one that's guilty of treason. I mean, who are you gonna find guilty of treason? You know, who? The head of the FBI, a couple of the FBI people that might have stifled, or you know, the guy that called whatever his name was, the former Twitter owner, and said, hey, listen, we want you to, you know, we don't want you to allow that story. You know, let's work out a deal. I mean, who do you go after?
You go after the FBI.
The FBI,
and you go after the person that did it, because that person is supposed to know what is right and what's wrong.
Because
if you just stood by and allowed it to happen, you're just as guilty for perpetrating the crime, just like the person that put the pressure on you, the extortion.
I would think the same thing if a police officer told you to do something, whether it may be morally right or wrong, you still do it because he's telling you to do it at that time. You can argue it at another time, but when it comes down to it, you have to do it.
Well, I know what you're saying. He's intimidating you. He's a policeman.
Well,
if you don't do what he says, there are going to be consequences for you. So the FBI contacts, let's say, Twitter. And they say, look, we got this concern that this Hunter Biden laptop thing is actually some Russian disinformation. We're not positive, but we're asking you to consider not publishing all that info because we might be getting down with all kinds of things that aren't true.
I'm not sure they used the word consider.
No, they might not have. But you know what I'm saying. And so then... here's a guy that runs Twitter that's probably predisposed to being a liberal anyway, right? Yeah. And he goes along with it. So who do you go after? Do you go after the guy that runs Twitter because he decided to do it? Or do you go after the guy that contacted him
obviously,
and said, he didn't threaten him, he said, we would like you to consider it. See, this is where it gets very hard.
Obviously, the FBI agent who couldn't figure out what was right and what was wrong, and what was a lie and what was not a lie, you basically go after that person right there to start with.
Well, now, okay, and I think they're going to do that. Are they not going to bring the head of the FBI into those
congressional hearings
next year?
Sure.
They're gonna start asking them questions about how they handled the whole Hunter Biden laptop situation and why they've been sitting on it. So we're going to get that out into the public.
Yeah, and like any other job, if you're hired to do a job and you don't do the job, and we come along to find out that you didn't do the job because you wanted to hide something, well, that's borderline criminal.
Mm-hmm. Are you still there, Angelo?
Yeah, I'm here, yep.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting discussion. What do they say? The greatest filter is sunlight or whatever it is. Sunlight on the subject. So we're going to be talking about it next year, right?
They'll be talking about it if they do the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as President Trump and Ron DeSantis, I feel that President Trump got the shaft for the whole time that he was the President of the United States. That Pelosi and Adam Schiff lied constantly, right? All the lies and everything that they did to that guy, he got the shaft. I know he probably feels hurt. He's probably really bent out of shape that he couldn't do what he wanted to do. And
but we
I believe sometimes he should get a second chance. But well, also, Ron DeSantis would make a great president. I mean, I back Ron DeSantis 100% too.
Okay.
I mean, to me, you got two people who could really run the country really great. I mean, you know, Ron DeSantis, he kept your state going during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was here in New York State, we lost jobs, businesses went out of business. You know, I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And look at the corruption with Mario Cuomo, and now we got Her Majesty, you know, over here in the New York State. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, as always, Angelo, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much for calling in. You take care of yourself. Hopefully, we'll talk with you again.
Yep. Talk to you again.
All right, buddy.
You guys have a great one. Great week.
Same to you. All right, be safe.
Can I clear up the diesel fuel heating oil argument before it's done for us on Thursday? Diesel fuel is used... diesel fuel used in diesel-powered vehicles and other engines is basically number two home heating oil. The only difference is that home heating oil has a dye in it that's added to it that distinguishes it from untaxed or lower-taxed fuels. The higher-taxed diesel fuel is used for on-road vehicles. In other words, it's got dye in it, and it's taxed differently.
I thought diesel...
Now, the other heating element is kerosene.
Okay.
Now, that's different. But diesel fuel is still, in northern homes, is still widely used.
And it's the exact same diesel fuel that goes into a truck's tank?
It's not the same. It's not the exact same. They put a dye in it to distinguish the difference. That's it.
A dye. Why would they put a dye?
It's a red dye.
Why would they put any dye in it?
In case they mix the barrels up, I don't know.
Anyway, thank you for clearing that up. All right. Let's do this, Ed. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we got some other things to talk about. How about this, I keep saying this woman, a vet, a Paralympian, too. She asks for a wheelchair lift. They say, no, we can't give you the wheelchair lift up in Canada. But how about this? We'll give you some information on how you can commit suicide. What? All right. We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Tune in Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. for Miss Sarah's Dynamic Gospel Power Show. That's 2 hours of great gospel music every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m., all brought to you by the Ozona Pig Restaurant in Ozona. Yes, that's every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. It's Miss Sarah's Dynamic Gospel Power Show. Tune in on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back at Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for listening in. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network, for which we are very appreciative. However, if you are not able to listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on tape on our website. So what you do is you go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look up at the top, and you'll see the word podcast. Click on that, and it will open up all the shows that we've been doing. Ed puts the very most recent show at the top, all the way down from there. And you'll see who the top 10, our top 10 is. You'll also see who the guest is and the topic that we're going to have with the guest. Again, it's OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So, Canada and their Veteran Affairs Office offered to assist a Paralympian and a vet to commit suicide when she went to have a wheelchair lift installed in her home. Her name is Christine Gauthier. She's a 52-year-old retired corporal. She competed in the 2016 Paralympics in Rio de Janeiro. She testified in writing that a VA official offered to provide her with a medically assisted suicide kit. She says, "I have a letter saying that if you're so desperate, madam, for a chairlift, if you're so desperate, we can offer you medical assistance in dying." I don't understand that. You want a wheelchair lift. Does that mean you're ready to go? What did they think she wanted the lift for? To get closer to heaven? I'm not understanding. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, he says he apparently condemned the incident after Gauthier said she personally wrote him a letter about this. Anyway, just weird. Very weird. All right. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, I was looking for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football game this Sunday. Did they?
Tonight.
What's going on? Okay, tell me about it. Who are they playing tonight?
We have the Saints here at 8:20 tonight.
Okay, so they're hosting New Orleans.
Yeah.
Are we going to be able to win that game, in your opinion?
Probably not.
New Orleans better than we are?
Too many things going on. I'm just hearing a lot of bad things right now.
Are you?
A lot of infighting, coaching decisions not being made probably. Starts at the top, works its way down.
Did you hear that there's a possibility that Tom Brady might consider going back to the New England Patriots? So you don't.
Why would they go backwards?
I don't think
that's just stupid.
Yeah, it's just one of those rumors, right?
I mean, he's not getting younger as he gets older.
Yeah, why would he want to go back there and go to New England?
No.
He wants to stay down here.
No.
Okay. All right.
He's single now.
Yeah,
there's
he is.
There's a lot of candy running around in Boston
is that right?
January.
Okay. Yeah, that might be another reason to stay here. All right.
He's got a few bucks in the bank, too.
He does, doesn't he? Does he have a home here in Tampa Bay?
Probably got a couple.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Okay, it's time for our top 10. We have a good one here. The top 10 most popular Christmas songs. Now, believe it or not, cardchat.com is the one that came up with this. It's an online poker site. Now, don't ask me why an online poker site would be able to give you the top 10 best Christmas songs, but it analyzed 1,200 Spotify playlists, each one featuring over 110,000 songs, to get the most popular Christmas songs in every state. And then to come up with the results, the site also looked at Google Trends data. So here you go, top 10. Number 10, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow by Frank Sinatra. Yeah, that's a pretty good song. I would tend to think it would make the top 10. Number 9. Remember Holly Jolly Christmas?
The Holly Jolly Christmas.
Yeah, Burl Ives.
Yep.
I love that song.
That was at the end of one of those animated flicks.
Have a Holly Jolly Christmas. I like that song.
Rudolph or something like that.
Yeah. Number 8. Oh, this one had to be on there. The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
Nat King Cole, what a singer he was. Number 7. Here's another great singer. White Christmas. Everybody has heard White. You know that is the biggest single-selling song of all time?
Yeah.
White Christmas. It was written by a Jewish man. Irving Berlin. All right, number 6. How about this one? It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas by Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good song. That one has been sung by a lot of people.
Well, I was going to say that's a remake of a couple
remake.
People. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's been around for a long time. Number 5. This I liked. Jingle Bell Rock.
Yeah.
Bobby Helms. We should play that.
We will.
I love that song, Jingle Bell Rock. All right. Number 4. I'm not sure of this one, Ed. You may know it. Last Christmas
By Wham?
Yeah, by Wham.
Yeah.
Number 4.
Yeah.
Must be pretty good.
Very good song, yeah.
Number 3. It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Andy Williams.
Okay.
You remember that one?
Yep.
That's a good song,
too. I like when they play that during the school year, too. When the school year starts and they show the kids moping around in the stores. It's the most wonderful
Number 2. Oh, here's another one. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Yeah.
Brenda Lee. Great song. Good old Brenda Lee. All right, Ed. Is the number 1 most popular song according to a stupid card chat?
Oh, you said
website.
Stupid, so you obviously don't agree.
No, I didn't say I don't agree. I didn't say that.
Shoot.
No, shoot's not number 1.
By Bing Crosby or something, I'm sure.
Well, we already did White Christmas.
I know, but he's had a few.
He's as good a guess as any.
We already did White Christmas.
Let me give you a hint.
All right.
I'm going to give you a hint.
There's Christmas in it.
It's a woman that sang it.
Oh, it's Mariah Carey.
Yes. Do you know the name of the song?
No. All I Want for Christmas Is You. Yeah.
That's correct. Very good. All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Yep.
That is indeed number 1. You got some help there from the owner of our station.
Well, That's not fair.
I'm not going to count
the
that
last
one.
Float of Thanksgiving Day Parade's got Santa and Mariah Carey singing the song. Yeah.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, we appreciate you listening in. Thank you so very much. You drive safely out there, and do please remember.
And this is Wham.
And
Last
here comes
Christmas.
Wham.
Yeah.
So let's listen to it, all right?
Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. Free speech versus gay rights. Right now, the U.S. Supreme Court's hearing arguments in a case brought by a Colorado designer who says state law forces her to do work for same-sex couples that's against her faith. Attorney Kristen Wagoner.
When you are engaging in symbolic speech, whether that be through the creation of a custom wedding cake or a custom wedding website, you are creating speech.
CBS's Jan Crawford at the court.
State Attorney General Phil Weiser says the law is about making sure LGBTQ people are treated equally so that, you know, businesses can't just turn them away.
The FBI is part of the investigation in North Carolina where two power substations were shot up and knocked offline. CBS's Mark Strassman.
This was intentional. Crews found signs of vandalism. Multiple pieces of equipment were damaged. And Duke Energy officials warned that restoring power could take days, making life very challenging, possibly until Thursday. A state of emergency has been declared here. County schools will be closed today.
Homeland Security has delayed the deadline for real ID enforcement at airports and federal buildings from